How's your garden doing, Earl?
Not good. Nothing's coming up.
What seeds did you plant?
Seeds? Was I supposed to plant seeds?
Things don't just happen. It gets done on purpose.
Growing in Christ takes discipline and habit.
Get off your butt and do it.
Go to the Speaking Deacons Essentials list only at thespeakingdeacon.com.
Speakingdeacon.com.
He's the Speaking Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
All right, we had a great worship time. And now we're going to worship the Lord by studying His Word. And doing one of the most important things we can do is dive into the Bible, study His Word so that we can obey Him, because that is what He has commanded of us. It's not multiple choice. It's not a suggestion. It is not an opinion. It is God's commands for us. And I think in American culture, that's our challenge, right? We look at the Scriptures, we look at the Ten Commandments, and we think, well, that's good for you. But for me, I'll choose this. The commandments are commandments, meaning we obey or pay. Those are our two options. So with that, let's pray. Good morning, Father. Please get me out of your way that your truths would be lifted up, that we'd understand them. And most importantly, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we would obey them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So finally, we have made it to the final chapter of 1 Peter. And we're gonna wrap it up. We're going to wrap up 1 Peter after who knows how many months. But the reality is even though the letter is only 5 chapters long, the Scripture is deep because, hey, God wrote it, so it has some infinite qualities to it, or some very deep qualities. Some of those is when you're studying a book of the Bible or a letter, you can easily jump to other truths in the Scripture and see how it connects. And so the neat thing about doing a study is that, you know, I'm going through 1 Peter, and I'll take that chapter, I'll put it on Word, and then I start reading it, and it's like, no, I know God talks about something here. So I go back to Blue Letter Bible, go back to those other verses. Ah, yeah, it does talk about this. Oh, I didn't know it talked about that. Yikes, maybe I should mention that too. And then I can paste that in there, and boom, and that's how sermons are developed. That's how the study goes. But it's so deep. There's so much stuff God wants us to know. No mysteries, no opinions, just some serious, solid content that guides us in our lives. This stuff is here for us. God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to guess. That's a key thing. If you ever come up to someone and they're like, I don't know what God's will for me is. I don't know. Yeah, when was the last time you read your Bible? I don't know. Well, that's why you don't know. Read your Bible a lot. Read your Bible a lot. A lot. That's essential. If you're only doing it very little, you aren't getting diddly squat of all the goodness God has for you. So here we are. We are in 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is it. Now Peter has just spoken about all this content from family issues to church issues to theology. It's always about theology. It's theology and then practice. It's truth and obey. That's how the Scripture works. And finally, in this last one, he's talking to the structure of the church. He's talking to the church leaders and then to everybody. And he's wrapping up this first letter. So let's take a look at this. Most of the Scripture will come from, obviously, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes this, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed." Now, somehow, in this one sentence, he baked in the gospel. A witness of Christ's suffering and one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. That's the gospel. The Christ isn't, again, that's not Jesus' last name. That's his title. the Anointed One, a witness of the Anointed One's suffering and the glory to be revealed. And that's what's essential about Jesus and the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on a cross, rose from the grave, paid for our sin, and a legal transaction takes place. That when Jesus was on the cross, all my evil nastiness went on him, and he died with it. His righteous life was credited to my account, because there's no way I could do it on my own. That's essential. That's the gospel. The gospel says you can't go to heaven on your own. Only Jesus can get you there. And Jesus is more than happy to let you go to heaven. But you got to let him pay your fine. If you're too stubborn and you take that fine and say, no, man, my righteous works, Lord, hey, you're never going to make it because you just blew off the Son of God. God the Father will never be pleased with that. Hello? So, you've got, this is the gospel. I appeal to you as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, not Peter's suffering. Peter suffered a lot. A matter of fact, church history tells us he was killed by on a cross upside down because he was unworthy to be killed right side up like his Lord and Savior. So they killed him upside down. That's got to stink. Any way you put it, that's going to be a terrible way to die. And that's how he was killed. But he was talking and glorifying Christ's suffering. Christ's suffering. Because that is where my payment is. That's my payment. That's your payment. Do you get it? And that's what's glorified. Not, oh, I suffered today. We had to drive a zillion miles to make it here this morning because we are up in Pennsylvania. So, oh, I suffered. That's ridiculous. Christ's suffering is the only thing that I hang my hat on because it's the only thing I can. And also one sharing in the glory to be revealed. The gospel. It's always about what Jesus did. It's not about what you or I did. We got to get this straight. It's always about Jesus did. Why do you think you go to heaven? You got to be able to tell people that. If someone says to me, you know, Jeff, you know, I might say something that sounds kind of like proud, like, I know I'm going to heaven. Can you say that? And bob your head? I know I'm going to heaven. Can you do that? You better be able to, because that means you're trusting in Christ. And now the people who are lost and are going to hell saying, who do you think you are thinking you're too good you can go to heaven? It's the sufferings of Christ. That's the only reason why. I have nothing. Jesus has everything. That's what's cool about it. But let's unpack this even a little more. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Wait a minute. Peter. A fellow elder? Peter? You know, the rock of the church, the one that the Holy Spirit revealed that Jesus was the Christ before his death, that Peter, that's some serious, I mean, this is the apostle of apostles, was Peter. And I just want to point out to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. That's humble. Where's the pride in that? That's serious, humble stuff going on right there. And that's crazy stuff. Matter of fact, just so you know, that word elder is the word from the presbyteros that we get in the Greek, which means Presbyterian. So that's where, like, some churches might be Presbyterian churches. That's where they get that term, and they're an elder-structured church. I don't think God cares much about the different structures as much as that the church gets together, get organized, and glorify the Lord. Do it. Whatever works in your town, get her done. That's, I think, all Jesus cares about. But that's how some denominations are. Great. It works. Great. Glorify the Lord with it. So just so you know, that's where the Greek word is. That's what that word elder means. And that means, elder means like a wise leader, so that sort of thing. So he's coming down on the elders now. The denomination I used to come from, they separated the elders and deacons. Elders were kind of like the pastoral care team, and then the deacons mowed the lawn. In our church, it's dual role, all right? We're the elder deacons, the deacon elders. We got to cover it all because we're a smaller congregation. So the terms sometimes we use interchangeably, it's all cool. So here we go. Next verse, as Peter writes, He exhorts these elders, in our case, we can say us deacons as well. And don't worry, this applies to everybody. It's a universal truth. So nobody can say, that's not for me! No, it's for you. All right, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, paying attention, taking care of things, not because, definitely not for money. That certainly can't be a big motivator. Now, some of the big televangelists, TBN's got some great golden thrones up there, and they've got some classy suits on. Whatever, I'm not going to go there, but the real motive is, because, how do I say this? There's lots of hurt ministers across the country. Psychologically damaged ministers who are unwilling to be healed because, you know, it's easier to pastor real sheep than people because the sheep, they just kind of do their thing. But people attack. People, you know, and unless a minister knows how to process that, they're going to have issues. They're going to have defense mechanisms. They're going to have lots and lots of bad baggage accrue on them because they don't know how to process what it means to shepherd the flock and what comes with that. And it's unfortunate that that more ministers should have that type of healing process. They should know how to deal with the community. The community is messy. It's supposed to be. And this is hard. So when you think of ministers, pray for them. Pray for the local pastors around here because it is hard. And, you know, I sympathize with them. I feel bad for them. I like what I do. Don't get me wrong. But I'm the speaking deacon. I'm not your pastor. So I've got a different role. We're all in this together. We either make it together or we fail together, but we're all together in this. And I am certainly not the Reverend, the right Reverend A.P. Wonder, which is the all-purpose wonder pastor. I'm never going to be that. Thank the Lord. All right? I'm here to say, hey, God rocks. His truths rock. Let's obey them and get together and change this town for Jesus. And we're all going to have to sacrifice. We're going to have to sacrifice after our jobs, after our long, hard days of work. Just like me, I understand it's got to get done. If we're to make disciples, we all got to participate. We all got to sacrifice. We all got to adjust our schedules. We all do it or we don't do it. That's just the facts. That's just the way it works. And we're all in this together. So by the way, you all, since we're all called to make disciples, every one of us in kind of a little way is an overseer. Because we all got that friend, we all got that neighbor who might be a baby Christian or might be, I don't know, you got religion. No, I don't got religion, I got Jesus. You got religion, get rid of the religion, come to Jesus, grow up in the Lord, know what it means to have purpose and meaning in your life and have an awesome life. Why don't you have that? You all have that goal, that challenge. You all have that person you need to be discipling. We all have that person because we all know people. So that qualifies us. Plus, we've got the commandment of Jesus that is to all of us. So we all have that commandment to do this. So all of us are little shepherds in our own little way. I should get buttons, little shepherds. Anyway, I'm going to highlight something. So when Peter says, be a shepherd, he knows what he's talking about. And I want to highlight a particular story from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, 14 through 25. Now, this is after the resurrection. Some of you are familiar with this. If you can't read this, use your Bible. All right? What happens in this particular case is Peter has witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection. But he didn't quite fully grasp that he was supposed to get to work yet. He didn't quite, you know, wasn't all there. So he decided to get a couple disciples, and they go fishing. You all kind of know the story. They go out all night. They don't catch anything. And then all of a sudden, they see someone on the shore who shouts out, hey, put your net in! They put their net in, trademark Jesus. They get a harvest full of fish. Peter figures it out. Oh, yeah, that's Jesus. So he jumps in the water, swims to the shore, and Jesus is already there with a fire with a fish going, like, I needed your fish. I'm God. I provide. I even provided you those fish. Now come over here, Peter. And he sits Peter down by the fire there, gnawing on some fish. And then he gives him this. He asks him this question. And this is very significant. Because the night before Jesus died, Peter denied Jesus three times in public. So this was crucial. This was Jesus reconciling Peter. So let's do it. All right. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he had said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then he went on and he predicted the type of life he was going to end. He said, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Do you get it? That's the command. That's the command. First, he redeemed Peter back by giving him three times to be reconciled for the times he denied him. And in each one, there was a command, "Feed my sheep." So when Peter says to us, "Be shepherds," he knows what he's talking about. He seriously knows what he's talking about. So now we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 3, and as Peter continues, he says, "Not lording it over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock." And that's, honestly, that's one of the reasons why I brand myself the speaking deacon and not the AP Wonder Pastor, because, hey, I get up, I got to find a job, I got to make sure the cars are going, I got to make sure the lawn's mowed, I got to do everything everyone else in here has to do. Two. All right, I got to work on my English. So I understand we're in this together, and we all are examples. There's somebody watching us, and we know it, isn't there? Like if someone, like in the schools or your jobs, when they know you're a Christian, guess what? They're waiting for you to slip up. Come on, show me that sin. Show me that sin. So we can say, "Aha! And you're a Christian! Yeah, I gotcha! Yeah, what do you think of that, Mr. Christian?" We all got that. Be an example. Let your sin be exposed, because that gives you the opportunity to glorify God. Because you can say, "Yes, I'm the worst sinner here. I'm still going to heaven." Haven't you do that? You're a sinner. "Yes, I am." Would you like to know the rest of the story? "Well, I don't know. Yeah." All right. Get him for Jesus. All right. Verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away." We're going to take a moment. This is where I decided to dive in a little deeper here. I want to check our heart's motive. Check your heart's motive here. I want you to think about your heart and how you emotionally respond to this truth, the part that I have highlighted. You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, how many of you went, "Yes, hallelujah! Yes, crown of glory, never fade away for me"? Did that just fire you up, or did you go, "Yes"? There's a huge difference there. Why? Why doesn't that light us up? What's going on? I want to take a deeper look at that. A desire for rewards. Do you have it? You see, we're so told in the church that to desire something is bad. And we get confused with that because it's not bad. Guess who put the desires in us? God. Not the devil. All right? God did. Now, if we chase a desire without God, that's bad. Or if we chase to fulfill a bad desire, but even a bad desire, if I was to unpack it, let's say someone's struggling with some sort of addiction. They're not after bad. They're not after bad. They're after good. They're after fulfilling their hearts with something. They want fulfillment, and they're chasing it, and they believe God isn't it. They believe the addiction is, and so they chase it. So they're just trying to get a God-fulfilled desire without God. That's the sin. You understand? So unpack that and be sympathetic to folks who struggle with addictions because they're not trying to destroy their life on purpose. They just don't have Jesus yet. And the sanctification process hasn't won yet in them enough. And that's a process. It's not everyone has a bing, you're healed story. They have a, all right, I belong to Jesus. What does this look like? Whoa! And they get pulverized. That's okay. God's working on them. And when you take clay, when it's first hard, and the first thing the potter does with the clay is he beats the daylights out of it. Sometimes that's what needs to happen to new Christians. God just wrecks their world so they have nothing left but Him. So, how's that for a long way to say desires aren't bad? The question is what I like to call pseudo-piety. It's like, I serve God because. Rewards? Whatever. God, I will obey. God wants us to be excited about His rewards. And there's lots of scripture from Jesus' very lips that speak of this. In Matthew 16, 26 and 27, he starts to unpack the difference here. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels. And then, now hold on, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. Do you understand? There's a difference. He says, don't chase what the world chases. Chase what God wants you to chase. Have your heart and your treasure in heaven. There are rewards, and the rewards are crazy great. Let's take some more looks at this. Twice, two different Gospels give the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, 11 through 12, says, Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evils against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Why would I want to rejoice and be glad? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You got to be able to get your vision over the mountain. You got to be able to know what's over the mountain. There's great stuff over the mountain. There's great blessings this side of heaven for those who serve the Lord. Part of those blessings is persecution. And I'm sure I shared this story a couple years ago. But when the Passion of the Christ movie came out, a high school student for the high school paper wrote an article, a review for it, and took it in to the editor of the high school paper, another high school student. And she gave the article, the person read it, crumpled it up, and threw it in her face. Said, that's crap. Don't put that in our paper. Because they wrote a good review about a movie about Jesus. And people who hate Jesus and hate God, bam, literally. And when we were unpacking this at a big rally, I told her, I said, you need to rejoice. That's an awesome testimony. And so she went up and shared with a couple thousand kids at this prayer retreat how the world just, bam, and she was to be blessed because she was able to participate in suffering with Jesus as a junior in high school. Because someone else hated Jesus and wouldn't allow that in their paper. Praise the Lord.
Whoa, Jeff. Let's give the people a break and end right here for today. Has this got you thinking? Please leave a comment on Facebook or send us a tweet. Truth is here.